We're beautifully snowing here up in wonderful Ashland, and we're loving watching it in the nice warmth outside. it's actually the perfect timing because it's all about nature and animals and communication, and here nature shows us one of our beautiful symphonies of life. And speaking of a beautiful symphony of energy, here's Margene Jordan. Hi, Margene.
Hi.
Hi, Margene.
Hi.
How are
you?
I'm great. It's sunny and dry where I am.
Sunny. Vancouver dry.
Yes, I know. It's unbelievable. We're having a beautiful day here. A little, a few clouds, but we had ice rain yesterday.
Wow.
Well, we're just so grateful to have you on our show, and we want to really appreciate you for all that you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So, actually, Margene is coming back to give her wonderful speech again, because before she was on, but no one heard it. It's really strange. Probably because the universe was going, not until Mom gets on. And so now we have a second chance to make a wonderful, wonderful time again. So, Margene, could you talk about how do you get interested in animal communication? Was it natural, or did you learn to do it?
I learned to do it. I had animals since I was born. My parents had a couple of mallard ducks, and when I grew up, my parents were very supportive. I had a mouse and a rat and fish and a couple of cats. I even had a skunk and a minor bird and a couple of chameleons. So
wow.
I had animals around me my whole life.
Oh, wow.
But,
wow.
And I would talk to them, but I didn't hear things from them. I didn't, hear back and have conversations. And then, and I'm recovering from a sore throat, so I hope you can hear me.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, we can hear you fine.
Mm-hmm.
So about 15 years ago, we had two dogs who were fighting. My daughter had left home, and she was on her own and had taken her old dog to camp with her. And we had no dogs, and Jerry went and got a new dog. So later on, my daughter moved back to town and had to bring her old dog back here to live. And he'd lived here his whole life except for about a year. So he thought this was his house. And the new dog, who'd never seen a dog here before, thought it was his house. So I couldn't get them. Every now and then they'd get into this fight, so I wanted to resolve this, and nothing had worked. And I read this book called Animal Talk, and there was a workshop about 5 hours away. So that's a whole long story how I got there and how the universe, because the class was full originally, but
right.
I was inspired to call one time about a week before the class, and there was a cancellation, and I got into class. And so I just went there to get my animals to get along, and I came back, and I was really happy. The dogs stopped fighting right away, and I was pleased, and that was it, and, on with my life. Well, about a month later, I get this lady who calls, and she's really crying, and she really wants help with her cat. I didn't ask back then, where she got my name, but my teacher had explained that she was getting 50 calls a week she couldn't handle.
Wow.
And her guides and angels told her that she had to teach this because there was nobody at the time teaching other people how to talk to animals, and she had done it as a child, just naturally. She really didn't know how to teach it, but, she always followed her inner guidance, so she was trying to create classes and teach people. So this lady was crying and crying on the phone. I said, I just took a little workshop. I don't know how you found out about me. I'll try, I said. So I sort of fumbled, and I took her name and address, and because I had never done anything at a distance. Penelope, told us how she worked, but I said, okay, call me back in an hour. So I tried to get really quiet and connect with her cat, and she called back, and I said, well, this is what you do, And so at the end of 6 months, I was getting about 5 calls a month, and I never asked for any money. I was still scared. I didn't know what I was doing, and my partner said, well, maybe God's leading you in a new direction, so maybe you should take another class. So in the end, I ended up taking all her classes and learning how to be an animal communicator, and I now belong to a couple online groups of professional animal communicators. There's about 55 in one group and about 40 in another, and we just help each other in the work we do, because it's not an easy job. We're faced with any number of situations that can be difficult for us, so we're there to help each other.
Right.
Wow. it's nice that you have a community of people like you.
Yes, because it's difficult when, you know, 15 years ago, people thought we were really woo-woo. I mean, you didn't even tell anybody what you did except your select group of friends, you know, because they thought you're like one of those 911 psychics, you know, and just out to get people's money. So it was a very quiet kind of thing.
Yeah, but it seems like it's definitely opened up much more through the years.
Yes. So nowadays there's about, I don't know, I guess 15, 20 books on how to communicate with animals.
Really?
You know, or have, you know, animal communication in them. I think there's about 7 or 8 how-to books. I have about 5 of them. And then there's other books that mention, you know, I was mentioned in a book years ago when the man was just researching. He had written a book about ghost busting, and he, you know, wanted to research people who saw ghosts. So then he did a book about animal communication, and he actually ended up taking classes. And I was one of the people that he interviewed. But he was trying to prove that it was a hoax and it wasn't real. And in the end, you know, he was actually having conversations himself. So it was a wonderful experience.
Right.
You know, to have a turnaround like that for him. So.
Wow, that's an enlightening experience, I guess. So, how has it changed your life?
Oh, I think that I could talk for hours and hours. My whole life has changed in that animals and nature. I mean, people, you know, when people go on vacations and stuff, even though now they often go in their motorhomes or travel trailers or whatever, people
right.
want to get away and get to nature.
Uh-huh.
And I think that they really don't understand why, they just do, you know.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it's very healing to be in nature. Many people, you say, where's your favorite place? Oh, at the ocean or near a waterfall
mm-hmm.
or something. Well, that's because animals in nature are unconditionally loving. They are, you know, beaming that unconditional love because it's just who they are. They don't have to practice it. They don't have to work at it. It's who they are all the time. So when you're in that energy, that flow of unconditional love, it feels good. It's healing.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds you who you really are. So in my experience of talking to animals and nature all these years, I've learned more and more about who I am. I'm being more my authentic self. I'm writing a book sharing animal and nature's experience. They asked me to write their book about how to live a happy, fulfilling life just by sharing their experiences of life, you know,
oh.
sort of magic healing energy woven in. So, you know, a lot of us, you know, wish we could be a very young child again, you know, radiant and self-confident,
right.
vibrant and trusting, you know, creative and we loving life. You know, you've seen little kids in the park, you know, oh, to be a little kid again, you know.
Yeah.
So nature inspires you back to your true, authentic, blissful self, you know, where you were, you know, magic in motion. You know, you were living the life of your dreams. And for a millennium, when you talk to ancient cultures, you know, indigenous people, the Aborigines, Native American, they all talk about animals being their teachers and mentors.
Right.
About what foods to eat, about how to do certain things, how to create ritual, where to go for food, you know. So nature and animals can lead us really back to leading a more balanced and blissful life, you know. So that's sort of what they have done for me. They've taught me how to be an unconditionally loving person, how to love myself fully, how to love everything, how to experience myself and everything as an extension of source energy, God, divinity, whatever, you know, whatever kind of label. It doesn't matter.
Right.
We always want to label things.
Yeah, right.
But if we're all an extension of this, use the word God just for, you know, using a word. So if we're all an extension of God, then God's experience in itself is everything. So when I'm looking at my tree out in my front yard, I'm looking at God. Or, you know, I'll say, hi, God, is Rowan, you know, my dog. Or, hi, God, is Magic, my cat. Or, hi, God, is my computer. Because, you know, I'm now experiencing everything as God. And it
right.
sort of transforms my whole life when I'm looking at it as everything is sacred. There is nothing hidden. Everything is beautifully connected. So when I love myself I'm loving everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm sending love out to everything, when I'm wanting the best for everything and for myself, you know, I know that it's somehow every little particle of creation, you know, in my experience is feeling that. So it's transformed everything I do, how I perceive life,
right,
how I perceive myself, how I perceive other people. My experiences, you know, are a gift, even if they're challenging, because I know that I'm co-creating them.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. So how do you help people with the work you do? And what is the reason some people call you?
Okay. Well, my work has evolved. Originally, when I took Benelli's class about 15 years ago, I dealt mostly with mundane things. You know, my cat's peeing out of the litter box. You know, my dogs aren't getting along. I got a new cat and she hides. You know, my dog pees when I'm on vacation or he won't eat. You
right.
know, my animal's sick. You know, how are they feeling? Is this medicine working? So it's rather ordinary stuff.
Uh-huh.
And what I found out was my teacher warned us that animals are beautiful mirrors, just like our friends are. So if we create our own reality, everything is sort of a reflection of what's going on, the law of attraction. We attract things to ourselves. So she told us that animals were mirroring things that were going on in our life. So they would mirror our stress or
mm-hmm.
being upset. They can actually, you know, out in nature, they help create balance. So it doesn't matter, you know, what kind of animal you are. You're helping balance the planet and Mother Earth and everything. So if you're in a domesticated at a home, you're still going to help create that balance. So the cat may actually clean your energy field, clean your auric field, and if
cool.
they clean the same energy off of you over and over again, they can actually take on your illness and get your skin condition or your tumor or something instead of you or at the same time as you.
Wow.
So
is that out of love? They do that out of love, don't they?
Yeah, but no, it's just there, as far as I understand, and I can only speak, you know, my experience. I'm
mm-hmm.
not claiming to have the truth. They don't sit there and say, oh, you're sick, I'm going to make you well. I'm going to take this off me, you know, and even if I get sick and die, I'll do this. That is not even in their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Out in nature, they see an imbalance, like in, you know, we dig up dig a spot and create a wound on the planet to create a garden. You know, we don't co-create with nature. Most people just decide to dig up an area and plant plants that have never been there before.
Right.
So to nature, that looks like a wound, like if you skin your knee.
Right.
So nature, plants, animals, every come over to balance that area, to heal it. So if you're out of balance, you come home every day and you're stressed out from work. You
right.
have a job that you don't like. Well, one cat may say, Mom, you should change jobs, you know? Another dog may be sitting there sending you some healing energy. Another cat may be sitting in your lap actually cleaning your auric field.
Wow.
So it's not that they're just like, that's how that particular cat is creating balance. Okay, it doesn't.
Right.
There's no right or wrong way.
Right.
They're just creating balance and not saying, I'm going to clean you even if I get sick. That thought isn't their mind. They're not afraid of dying.
Right.
They live in the moment. They're unconditionally loving. So, you know, otherwise we always try to humanize everything, and then we want to feel guilty if our animal gets sick, and do we make them sick, and why are they dying? And I try to really separate that. It's their innate nature to do whatever they do. But so my working has evolved to a lot of times I'm coaching people. So a cat has a bladder problem, you know, so then I might ask the person, so is there any area of your life that you're really stressed out? Oh, yeah, my partner and I fight all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't get along with my boss. I'm just so, pardon the language, pissed off at my son. You know, well, that's your bladder there.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
So that I can usually tell that something's going on in the person's life by whatever the animal's sharing with me. The animal doesn't say she's pissed off at her boss. I mean, once in a while they
do. Don't have that.
But they tell me there's a lot of stress. My person's upset. You know, I feel a lot of tension. She's not as happy as she normally is.
Mm-hmm.
She's not as relaxed. You know, so I find out that a lot of times we're unwilling to work with our own stuff. We're too busy. We're in denial. We don't even know what's there. And so we bring animals into our life to help us heal issues that we really want to come into balance with. So, again, they're playing that role of teacher, mentor.
Wow.
Whether they're out in the wild or whether they're in our lives. So now, you know, I've evolved to, I like coaching with people, so I can communicate with some wild dolphins and, you know, you can ask questions about your life and get life coaching, or you can get life coaching with your own animal friends. And that's really, you know, the baseline is, well, why are you stressed out? Well, you should change your job or this or that, because in that first class, I didn't share with you that very first class, I had a really sort of shocking experience. We learned to communicate the first day, and the second day we practice. And we practice for an hour, and we go, like, talk to the pig or the llama or whatever. And then we come back for an hour and sit with Penelope and say, well, this is what I got. And she would tell us what part was right and what part was wrong. You know, it was us. So we practice, so we learn not to put our feelings in there. So in this one round, I talked with this golden lab. He had a red handkerchief around his neck, and I'd never seen him in my life, and I asked him this list of questions. And I finished, I thought, well, it'd be nice to let him just talk without asking all these questions, you know, see if I can get something. So I said, anything else, you know, you want to tell me on your own? He goes, yeah, Marjorie, you know that big emotional problem you had last year? You know, and you were trying to do this and this, and it didn't work out, and you tried something that didn't work. Try this. This will work. I think this will help you. Well, I about just dropped my clipboard. You know? Forget about an hour. I'm looking for Penelope, and I'm trying to find her. I said, hey, what's going on here? I said, I never saw this dog in my life. And he told me about this thing that happened last year, and he's got this advice. I mean, am I making this up? What is this? I don't even remember this.
Cool.
So she told me that, you know, animals are like gurus. They're all individuals. You know, some are more, wise and ancient than other ones, but she says, wait till you start talking to your own animal friends.
Oh,
she says, I want to live with you every day, 24/7. You know, and that's true. I mean, we had this dog, Duke, and one time I was asking him about a relationship issue. I said, so, you know, why is this happening in my life? You know, and he says, well, because you still do such and such.
Right.
I said, I healed that. I don't do that anymore. He says, yes, you do. And I said, well, I don't think so. You know, like 2 weeks went by. Boom, there I was doing it again. Oh, man, you know. I had to walk back over to him. I said, you're right. I thought I let that go. He said, nope, you know. Because, I mean, they're unconditionally loving. They just, you know, lay around and they, you know, they live their life and they dream their dreams and do all this wonderful stuff and send us love. But they also are very observant.
Right, yeah.
So they can see those habitual patterns that we're stuck in that we're, you know, not well aware of.
Right.
And sometimes we just need to make the simplest changes in our lives to create more balance, and they're aware of it. They live in a simplistic world. They don't try to make things really complicated. You know, people go, well, is that all? And they go, yeah, that's it. But, you know, it's that simple change of something that you've done another way for years. You know, you're doing this habitual pattern.
Right.
I don't like to use the word addiction, but, you know, we get addicted to doing things certain ways.
That's the habit, yes.
Having dinner at a certain time or
yep.
dressing a certain way. If you watch yourself, you'll find how habitual you are. So the greatest way to change your life is like to change one of those things, you know.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Very true, yeah.
So I really like doing that. I'm find that's more my gift, to get the deeper spiritual messages from animals. I have a website. I'm not promoting for that reason, but it's called liveislove.com, and it shares the inspirational messages that animals have shared with me over the years when I've asked questions or things, you know, because they're very wise mentors.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. They really are. I mean, they're like the masters of the universe.
Right. I mean, everything is connected, you know, which I believe, you know, ancient cultures talk about this oneness. It's everything's connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything knows everything about everything.
That's true.
You know, there really are no secrets. Like my tree in my front yard one time, I was communicating with it says, what makes you think that I can't feel the ocean breeze? What makes you think that I can't feel you when you're at work or, you know, driving in your car shopping? You think that I'm tied to this place with my roots and ground, but there's so much more to me than you understand.
Well,
you know, so it's true. I mean, you're one of my favorite books, The Secret Life of Plants.
Ooh.
You know, by Christopher Boyd and that other man. And one of my favorite guys did the plant experiments, and he's still doing them today. And you know, he tested lie detector machines. I mean, he made them, I guess, and he was waiting for the police one day, and they were 2 hours late, so he hooked them up to this plant, and thinking there was, that nothing would happen, he was just, like, drinking his coffee, and he poured some water, and nothing happened, so he said, well, I wonder what happened. And he opened the drawer. He hadn't got it out yet. If I took a match and I burned a leaf, and his machine triggered fear.
Wow.
He said, wow. He said, I hadn't even got the match out of the drawer. You know? So Clive Baxter. So
yeah.
C-L-E-V-E Baxter. And so he got a lot of money, and he did research. And the one that I remember, the reason I tell this, was plants and animals. I mean, he took these ladies' plants, several of her plants, and he hooked them up to his machines. And she was going on vacation, and he kept a journal about, you know, like 10 o'clock in the morning, your plants did fear on Wednesday, you know, any changes in their temperature and stuff. And then she on vacation, she kept a journal. So
wow.
When she got back, you know, he says, okay, what were you doing Wednesday morning at 10 a.m.? So she opened her journal. She says, okay, I was taken off in an airplane. He says, well, is there anything wrong with that? She says, oh, I'm scared to death of airplanes. She says, taken off, landing, scare me to death. Once I get up, I'm not too bad, you know, but I just, like, grip my seat when I take off. He says, look at this, all your plants, 10 o'clock in the morning, they're all experiencing fear.
Wow.
Now, she
wow.
was hundreds and hundreds of, I don't remember, it was 500, 1,000 miles away.
Oh, wow.
And her plants at home were experiencing her emotions.
Holy Toledo.
Now, plants can experience that. Imagine your animal friend.
Wow.
And sometimes animals have trouble when you go on vacation. Well, that's because we're having so much fun, we're not even thinking of them.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. Trying to communicate to them, how are you, you know? Even I get in trouble. You know, I used to go teach and be gone for a weekend or something, or 4 days or 5 days.
Right.
And I call back, and Jerry goes, you talk to the dogs today? And I go, oops, no. He says, I can tell.
Because they're responding a certain way.
Because, you know, I have this rhythm, and I always talk to them and stuff. And so, you know, they miss you when you're not having there to have that conversation. I tell people, you know, if you go on vacation, take a picture or a card, if you don't have a picture, and put it on your pillow wherever you sleep. And then every night before you get in bed, you find that card, and you go, hi, Fluffy, you know, this is what I did today. You know, connect heart to heart. Just imagine your hearts are connected.
Oh, cool.
And they'll get that energy and that loving vibration, and they won't feel alone. They'll still feel connected to you.
Wow.
Aww.
Could you do that, like, if you had, like, a break at work, too, or something?
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying that you can, you know, I could do it in the middle of the day. I'm just saying, when people are on vacation, sometimes they're busy, or
right, yeah, you know,
or they're going on a work trip or something. So
right.
Just putting that card on your pillow reminds you, you know, before you go to bed at night to do it. It's just sort of a reminder thing in your busy day.
That would be a really good idea, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd also not feel so alone, too, sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll quiet you down, help you go to sleep when you're dreaming of your animal friend.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So could you give us some examples about what happened in the session? Like, how would someone prepare, and what exactly goes on?
Okay, well, typically somebody calls to make an appointment, and during the session or before the session, they give me their name, address, phone number, and the animal's physical description. Now, sometimes they send me a photo, a small one. I'm still on dial-up, but, you know, I don't need one, but I need the animal. You know, I have a cat, Magic. She's, you know, 3 years old. She weighs about 9 pounds, medium black hair. She has 4 white paws, yellow eyes. I've had her for 2 years. I got her when she was 3 months old. Well, that just helps me, and I have your name and address from teaching from Penelope. I have the right house and the right animal.
Right.
Named Magic, you know, so that I can communicate with them. And sometimes people tell me ahead of time, or they don't tell me till they call. You know, they're an old client, so, you know, I need an appointment next Wednesday. And so they tell me what the problem is. You know, she's peeing on the litter box, or she's hiding, or, you know, these two cats aren't getting along, or what does she want to tell me? You know, she wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So then I, you know, have prepared beforehand, and so then I connect with the cat. You know, I introduce myself, say who I am, and, you know, your person Preston would like me to ask you questions. We're here to, you know, get to know each other better, and I have been, you know, trained not to ask leading questions. So let's say I had a cat that was peeing out of the litter box. I wouldn't say, you know, your friends, your person's really angry. You're not peeing in the litter box. Why are you mad? You know, because that's like a leading question.
Right, right.
So I ask the cat how they're feeling, how they like living in the house, if there's anything they want to tell their person. Have they noticed any changes? Is anything upsetting them? And then, you know, after all that, then I would say, well, you know, she notices that you're not using the litter box all the time. You know, what is that about?
Mm-hmm.
So they can tell me, well, you know, she's changed the litter. I don't like the smell. It's not clean enough, you know. The other cats are chasing me out of the litter box, you know. I sort of lead up to it so that, just like a person, I don't want to make them wrong. I want to find out how it's going on. And a lot of people just call because they want to know, what would their animal like to tell me if they could tell me anything? Because, you know, sometimes we're taking a workshop or doing something because the animal tells us. Sometimes we don't understand how much they love us and the messages they're giving us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of, you know, the way it works. And I do end-of-life work for free. So I have a lot of people call me every year when their animal is close to the end, you know, does Duke want to have this last surgery, you know, does he want a surgery or does he want to die on his own?
Oh, I see.
He in pain? I don't want him to suffer. Does he want assistance dying? When you're getting towards the end, you know, I want to give a gift to the people. I don't want to have the animal suffer needlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet some animals, you know, aren't suffering. They experience pain differently than we do.
Right.
And they really would just like to pass on their own. They don't want any assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful for the animal's sake and for the person's peace of mind to know when the animal's ready and exactly what they want.
Oh.
So I don't charge for that. You know, I allow people to make donations, and once in a while they do. But
right.
I don't want money to get in the way of, you know, an end-of-life thing.
Right.
And I
right.
also talk to animals and spirit. Now, that, there's a fee for that. But
the ones that have already crossed, you mean,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So what brings you the greatest joy about this work?
I think one of the greatest joys, I mean, I think that everything's a mirror so that I learn a lot by, you know, we teach what you need to learn. So.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I'm telling somebody something, I go, yes, and when's the last time you did that? So
yeah.
One of my greatest joys is what a great teacher it's been for me.
An ugly teacher?
Hmm?
You're saying ugly teacher?
No, one of the greatest gifts is what a great teacher it's been for me.
Oh.
The experience of being an avid communicator teaches me, because it's sort of like the whole Ho'oponopono healing thing. The man who healed all those people in the criminally insane people.
Right.
You know, he was just working on himself. Well,
mm-hmm.
So when I would get off a consultation with somebody, I'd say, so what is this lesson here for me? I'd start asking my guides and angels.
Mm-hmm.
So like an animal wasn't using a litter box, you know, and they said, well, it's because you're not keeping your commitments. And I go, what do you mean? He says, well, maybe if you kept your commitments to, you know, what you make, this animal will keep his commitment to use the litter box, you know. And I go, what is this about? You know, if a friend asks me to do something, I do. And he says, no, how about the commitment you make to yourself? Like,
oh.
You're going to exercise, you're going to write every day, you're going to go, oh, you know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, one of those things.
No, one of those kind, okay. I've made a lot of them. So, you know, that's one of the gifts. The other gift is, like, I know that I help a lot of animals stay out of the pound, you know.
Right.
A lot of animals don't need to see end to end their lives because, you know, we've helped resolve a problem, or I've given them, you know, a solution. And usually the people have to do the work themselves. Like, one of the greatest tools I use is teaching people visualizations. Now, we've been using them for years. The Soviet Union, you know, I don't know if they were the first, but
right.
I remember that many of their athletes used to win over us for years because they've been doing visualizations for decades. You know, they would imagine doing their perfect routine and
mm-hmm.
winning the medal. So, with the animals, it's a similar kind of thing, because humans tend to, and I learned this from Angelus Arian recently, did a worldwide study of all these different cultures. And they had four things in common, all our cultures. And one of them is, one of the top four things we do is focus on the negative. And even in, you know, some of the, you know, other cultures around the world that are more ancient than we are. And so we say, don't get on the couch, don't pee here, don't bark, you know.
Oh, yeah, but don't, yes, sir.
So when you say don't get on the couch, what we're visualizing is the dog on the couch. Now, don't pee here, you know, we're visualizing the animal pee here, you know.
That's
we're
right.
always visualizing what we're afraid the animal's going to do. We're
right.
going, oh, God, is she peeing around the house today?
Yeah.
So, while the visualization is helping the animal, it's also helping the person change their thoughts. So I teach people to get really quiet, take a few deep breaths, imagine they're growing roots out of the bottom of their feet.
Right.
So that, like, and every time they take a breath, they're, like, letting their tension out. So they're really grounded because this isn't a head trip. You don't want to just do something in your mind.
Right.
And then they, you know, they think about something when you do an animal visualization. It makes you really happy. So maybe you're eating an ice cream sundae, or you're going on a vacation, you know, with your best friend. Whatever it is, it makes you feel really happy because the animal's going to feel your happiness when you connect with them. So let's say I wanted to get a cat to use the litter box. So I'm feeling really happy, and I go, I'd see Angel, you know, when she's walking around the house and maybe by a spot that she always uses, and I'd feel like I really had to pee. Like, you know, I've been on a road trip for 8 hours to need a bathroom. And I said, Angel, and I'd show her going to the litter box. I said, oh, thank you for always using the litter box. You're such a smart cat. I'm so glad you use the litter box and keep the house clean. I'm so glad you understand how important this is and how much I love you. Thank you so much. So you do like that 4 times a day in your mind, and that would connect with what I call her subconscious.
Right.
It only takes a couple, 3 minutes. If people are busy, I have them, you know, put a sign by their bed and a sign in their bathroom so they can do it, you know, four times a day. Then during the day, you know, they walk by Angel. They go, oh, there's my beautiful, pretty cat. I'm so glad you know how much I love you. And thank you for using the litter box for keeping the house clean. You're such a smart cat. Thank you so much. So that is giving a very, when you say thank you for using the litter box, that picture is very clear.
Right, right.
You know, we got a couple dogs, Jerry and I. And we'd never had dogs lay on the couch. And these two dogs decided the couch was their best friend. And it was a brand new couch, you know.
Their spot.
So I go, Duke, thank you for laying on the floor. You know, I put him, take him off the couch, and I say, Duke, thank you for laying on the floor in front of the couch. I'm so happy that you lay on the floor in front of the couch. You're such a smart dog that you know that's your spot. It took me a week and a half, and they were laying on the floor.
Wow, cool. Wow.
So, you know, I was showing them what I wanted them. People typically don't. I mean,
right.
they go, you know, don't forget to get the milk on the way home, Preston.
Yeah.
And that's the way we talk.
Yeah.
You know, I learn from animals. I go, thank you for remembering to get the milk on the way home.
Right, yeah.
It says the same thing, but one says I trust you and the other says I don't.
Right.
Because typically, like, somebody has a dog that jumps up. So they're walking to the front door and the doorbell rings. And they're not conscious of this. You know, I said, well, they're not conscious of it. No, I mean, how many unconscious thoughts, like I said, habitual patterns are running your life?
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking to the front door and you're thinking of the other times Duke has jumped up on people and how he drives you crazy, you know, or he won't stay off people and he embarrasses you. So you're running this little tape in your subconscious mind of the past things. So you get to the door, you open the door, Duke, down, no, oh, stop it, you know, bad dog.
Yeah.
You know, and Duke's going, okay, Marianne's mad. Not at jumping up, but she's mad about something. I just don't know what. So now he's seen this little picture, so he thinks jumping up's okay. You know, he said, well, she's not mad about me jumping up. I saw that. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Wow.
There was one of my teachers, and I won't say which one.
Right.
But she was very psychic, and she could see in people's minds instantly. You couldn't hide a thought from her.
Right.
And she used to teach dog obedience. And she gave up because she said people were so fearful and negative it would drive her insane. She said she'd have a lady, you know, her dog was doing a long sit and it was supposed to come to her. So she called the dog and the dog would go out in the bushes and she said, that's where she was seeing the dog go. I could see in her mind. I could read it.
Right.
Okay, Nancy. So where were you thinking the dog would go? Well, I imagine it's going to take a long time, so I didn't think he'd come to me right away.
Oh, no.
She says, I'm telling you what to think, and they can't even think it. You know, she's so negative. It's driving me crazy.
That's funny.
But, you know, I walk into my New Age store, and I'm very funny. They know me there. You know, and I walk in one day, and it says, don't forget your mother. I
so
go,
basically,
what kind
forget
of
your mother.
Is this? I go, how about remember Mother's Day?
There you
go.
Go.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to attract more people with that.
Yes, me too.
You know, I saw these signs that at this conference I was at, and they're trying to keep people off this one little spot by the side of the stage because the person had to get up there with a camera on and off during the day.
Right.
They said, don't put your stuff on here. Keep on. I mean, they had all these stuff.
Right.
So
right.
It didn't matter. The stuff still kept being left there. I made new signs that says, thank you for keeping this area clear. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Guess what sign was more successful?
Oh, that one.
You know, one is emanating love.
Right.
And thank you for being this way. The other is don't stop, you know. It's
yeah,
resistance,
yeah.
And we want to challenge resistance. Oh,
yep.
Yeah, you know.
It's
sadly in our nature.
Yep.
So animals teach me, you know, how to turn things around.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And look at things from just a totally different viewpoint.
Yeah, that's true. And if we looked at things at a totally different viewpoint, then we'd have a lot more variety in our life.
Yeah, and a lot more happiness.
A lot more joy and fun, peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, before, when I woke up, and I said, Mom, it's snowing! She'd go, oh, great. Because it's not fun to drive in it.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, we looked outside, and something came to Mom, and she said, every little snowflake is $100 coming to us. I'm like, oh, yes, the buttons. Oh, yes, we're so grateful. Snow. And now we look outside, and it's like, oh, so beautiful. It's snowing. And even Mom's like, it's beautiful. And it was funny because we were talking, and we're like, just makes you want to go and sit by the window and look outside
with
a hot cup of cocoa.
At your abundance falling down.
Yeah, look, all around
us. So it's just a new way to... outlook, a new way to look
yeah.
at it.
And you think every single snowflake is a one-of-a-kind original.
I know. Mm.
That's what's so, you know.
That's amazing.
That's what I love, you know, about people say, well, what is a dog like? What is a cat like? You know, I go, a one-of-a-kind, just like a human being. They each have a different personality, you know. Just like, you know, certain breeds have personalities, just like certain, you know, like Asian people do things a little different than Native American people.
Right.
Okay? So we have certain little idiosyncrasies that are more define us. But, you know, that each animal is an individual, one-of-a-kind being.
Right.
You know, I would say like dogs and cats, you could generally say that, you know, I love this card that one of my friends, Susan Chernek, she begins all her speeches with this, and she said she got this card, and on the front there was a dog, and it said, they feed me, they play with me, they take me for walks. They must be gods, you know. And you open the card, and there's a cat inside, and it says the same thing, except underneath at the bottom it says, I must be God.
Yeah.
You know, so there are differences. Like, you know, a cat is more, you want me to do what?
Yeah,
what
right.
I
and
do
the
that?
Dog will just go,
give me a good reason. You know, the dogs go, yeah, okay.
Cat are like, because I've pet some cats, and certain ones will go, that's enough. No more petting allowed.
I know, but
have a couple of pets.
People have asked me, you know, called up because they want to get rid of their cat because they say their cat doesn't love them because they don't like to be petted.
Oh.
And we have all these misnomers, human assumptions. We want to generalize everything and make a dictionary, and if it doesn't fit under our dictionary, we'll throw it away. You know?
Right.
And I go, the cat loves you. It just doesn't like being petted.
Yeah.
You know, and like all cats don't catch mice.
Right.
They
that's
just
true.
Don't. I think there's 15-20% of, you know, cats that really, I heard the statistics, that really, you know, enjoy that. I mean, and the thing is, you know, what I understand in nature, one question that people ask me is, you know, when a cat catches a mouse, the soul leaves, so there's really no pain. So the cat is playing with an expiring physical body.
Right.
The soul is no longer present to experience any kind of trauma. So I have cats, you know, excitedly telling me how they're ripped apart by 5 coyotes, you know. I have all these, I'm not afraid of dying anymore. It's just like an amazing thing. So animals decide when to die. So, you know, they want to be different animals. They want to have new experiences. Everything is about being creative in the moment, you know, sucking the marrow and the joy, all you can get out of every moment. So that, you know, the the mouse say, you know, I've had it being a mouse. I've just done everything I like, and I want to be an owl next time, you know. So it telepathically tells all the animals, and God being God, you know, knows how to create balance, that it's just, I'm ready to be food. And the mouse says, I never know whether I'm going to be caught by an owl, a coyote, a fox, I mean, a cat. I just don't know. But I'm going to run all the way to the last minute for the joy and the fun of, you know, my life experience. But once I'm caught, I'm gone instantly. I don't even care what happens to my body. So, you know, that's, the part. And you can, you know, see this in life, in real life experiences. I had this cat of mine who hated any other cat. We rescued a couple of cats and, you know, kittens that we found and had to find them new homes because she'd stand outside and scream and howl, you know. So I had to take care of my son's cat 3 times when he moved. So it wasn't until the 3rd time that, you know, I was a communicator and she was finally not screaming all day. And one time she was in there and she would just, like, keep her distance from Wilhelmina. And I said, you know, Wilhelmina has to stay inside the house. She can't have any fun. She can't go outside and catch mice like you. So just be nice. She's only going to be here for 2 weeks, okay? Be nice to her. So like 20 minutes later, she comes in with a live mouse in her mouth and comes over and drops it in front of Wilhelmina.
Oh.
So they take off chasing after this mouse. And looking at Jerry, I said, I didn't think she would take me so literally. I said, oh, my God. So she brought a mouse in, you know, for her to play with.
Right.
So they're chasing this mouse, and it goes underneath the couch. And so the cats stop, you know, they walk away. So Jerry's dog has got his nose. He's, like, trying to lift the couch up. His nose is under there, his tail, he's whining. And Jerry says, you can't catch that mouse. And Duke is just, like, going crazy. And Jerry, we don't want this mouse loose in the house, you know.
Right.
So Jerry lifts the couch up and Duke, you know, and he comes out and he's sitting there. And we're looking at him. I said, oh, my God, look at his mouth. And there's this little tail sticking out between his teeth.
Oh, my God.
I said, oh, my God, he has the mouse. Oh, somebody open the door. So one of my kids opens the door and he runs out. We go, spit him out. And Duke opens his mouth and down the steps runs his mouth.
Oh, wow.
And my kids were all laughing hysterically. My children, you know, were teenagers at the time, says, Mom, you got to write that story of that mouse, you know. So, well, children, let me tell you about my day. I was happily sunning, eating some berries, and I was caught by this cat, and I thought, oh, my God, my life is over. It says, but then it takes me in the house and puts me down in front of this other cat, and then they both chase me. And I thought, oh, God, my life is over. It says, I got under these couches. And then this dog ate me. And then spit me out, you know. I say from the human point of view. But, you know, it was, the point is, it wasn't that time for that mouse to die.
Right, right.
You know, it went through all that experience. And it ended up being okay and running down the steps and back into its life. You know, I talked to a cat once, and it had been born and raised for 6 years in an apartment, never been outside a single day in its life. People moved to an old-growth forest. Cat got out the first day, and they had to drive a half hour to a phone to call me. They were hysterical and crying, you know, and I said, well, okay. So I communicate with the cat, and I go, I think it just ate something. It doesn't know how to eat. It didn't have a mother. It's never been outside. You know, there's it's eating because, I mean, we walk in the woods. I've been up there, and there's, you know, raccoons and bears and,
right,
and wolves and coyotes. There's lynx. There's everything up there. Bobcats. You know.
Right.
They determine 24 hours the cat is dead, you know. And I kept communicating a week later. I said, I think the cat's okay. Oh, it can't be okay, you know. So there's like 4 little houses up there. So like 2 months later, the cat comes back. Totally well-fed and everything. One of their friends picked it up and brought it over to their house. Now, how did that cat survive out in that wild forest for 2 months with all those animals that could have gone, oh, look, there's a piece of fresh meat. It doesn't even know how to live here. Right? I mean, you could just, like, experience these things that God has divine perfection, you know, in everything. I met a man at a party, and he wanted to talk to me, and unfortunately forgot to give me his business card because he was a part of a team of research scientists, and they were trying to figure out, it was like ageless animals or something. He said most of the dead animals found in the world were young or middle-aged. They seldom ever found old animals, even in the ocean, and he wondered why. And, of course, I think, you know, it's because they choose when to die.
Right.
They don't wait to get old and,
yeah.
you know, suffer and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I had enough of this. I'm going to be, you know, something else.
Right.
So I want to give some suggestions before I finished to anybody listening how, you know, you can buy books. And if you write to me, Morgine, M-O-R-G-I-N-E, at TDS, Tom David Sam, TDS.net, and ask for a book list, I'll be glad to send you, you know, a list of books that you can read on how to communicate with animals. But if you just want to start, all you have to do is every day spend 5 minutes and get really quiet. And, you know, take several deep breaths, just like I was, you know, telling you before, and imagine you're growing roots out of the bottom of your feet. Just sit with your animal and be quiet for 5 minutes. Imagine your hearts are connected. And just, you know, have an intention that you want to, you know, have some communication with your animal friend, and then just let go, and just don't try to hear anything, don't try to, you know.
Don't try to make it happen.
Don't try to make it happen, just be with them for 5 minutes a day, and most people who do that for, you know, a week or so will start all of a sudden, oh, I felt so much warmth in my heart, you know, did I just feel their love? Well, yes, you know, and it's just a beginning. Anything takes practice, like, you know, when you learn how to ski or you learn how to drive a car, people forget it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're communicating with you all the time, and you did when you were young until, you know, you had a parent come along and say, okay, quit talking to your imaginary friend, you know. Now we know dogs and cats don't talk, so let's grow up. So, you know, I really don't teach animal communication. I, you know, remind people of their innate natural ability.
Because right.
We used to know what season was going to come. We didn't have to look at a horse to tell us, you know, its long coat that we're going to have a cold winter. We knew. We were so connected to nature.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that. And I think that, you know, this is what the animals are helping us do again, evolve back into who we truly are, our authentic selves, so we're connected to everything. So that, you know, we feel with all our senses, and I know who you are more by using all my senses and closing my eyes than my eyes, because my eyes are like the worst, you know, judging thing of what something is there. You know, spending time with a flower, with an animal, with your whole being tells you more than reading a book or dissecting it or trying to take it apart.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or looking at it and thinking you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why right now, this definitely the time to let go of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, naturally, peacefully.
Yes.
And just accept and love. Like every, you know, snowflake is different and wonderful. But you don't label one snowflake bad because the other one...
It's missing a part of its decoration or something.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the beauty they make in combination.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, look at the power they have coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And the cells of our bodies live in a loving community. I mean, we don't have to think about digesting our food.
I know.
Or how to take the water and get it to cleanse ourselves. Or I mean, it just does it. Imagine
exactly.
If, you know... Pardon me, but if part of, you know, the heart said, I'm going to go on strike today, or
yeah.
I'm not going to pump any blood, or, you know, the lungs were going to breathe, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, we really are we're walking around and we're an unconditionally loving community of self, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, our illnesses and stuff many times are just when we are, you know, shutting ourselves down or interfering with that balance that's going on all the time. But our bodies do so many things every day that... are, you know, we're not even aware of.
Right. We almost take for granted, honestly.
That require loving cooperation
mm-hmm.
in order to manage it.
Incredible symphony within.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we go out in nature, that's an incredible external symphony that's just reminding us who we are, you
mm-hmm.
know. So you look at your dog or cat, and the reason people have such a hard time when they lose them is because they've never been loved. So unconditionally, so
right.
fully, so
mm-hmm.
deeply by,
right.
usually not by another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all capable of that. We've just forgotten who we really are.
That's true. Well, we have about 4 minutes left, so do you if you'd like any closing messages or contact info?
Okay, well, my regular website is woof, woof, woof. Communications with an S, communicationswithlove.com. And from that website, there's a link there for liveaslove.com if you want to read about the animals there. And I've been saying I was beginning for a long time, but I finally got it together. I'm beginning a newsletter, and that it's going to come out once a week, and just it's not going to be a big, long newsletter for anybody to read. It's just going to have a message from the animals every week.
Oh.
So that, you know, you can receive a message like on Tuesday to make your week and brighten you up or give you some clarity. Once
cool.
in a while, maybe I'll feature somebody's animal, allow somebody's animal to give us a message or something. And I teach workshops and do consultations. And like I say, I'm writing that book. And I welcome communication.
Yeah. So do you have any message from, like, the dolphins that you deal with? I love dolphins. We love dolphins.
The dolphins, the general message about dolphins, I don't have anything pulled up in front of me,
okay.
is really about joy and bliss.
Yay.
They are fully into enjoying life in the moment and having fun.
That's
and,
it.
And that's, like, what we don't do. You know, they want us to learn how to, you know, do what you love, live an inspired life, go inside and take inspired actions instead of having to motivate yourself to do things.
Right.
You know, so they're all about if it's not joyful, don't do it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
if you're paying bills and you don't enjoy doing that, writing the check, well, turn on some of your favorite music,
right.
okay? Get your favorite cookie, sit there and say, oh, look at, isn't this, I love doing this. Look at all this money I have to pay these bills.
Yeah, that's right.
And more is coming in. So
yeah.
you find a way to make it enjoyable.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the only way you're going to attract more of what things to enjoy into your life is by being in that enjoyable state. So if it's not enjoyable, try something to make it enjoyable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Allow it.
Yes, they're about joy and bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we talk again, I'll share some writing with you, but you can also go at liveaslove.com and read many of their messages. I have a whole section on dolphins.
Yay!
Yay! Oh, and also, if you didn't get that or you didn't write it down fast enough, don't worry, because if you go on to our bio page and look down at Sunday's program information, we'll have everything about Morgie and all her contacts.
Yay!
Yay!
And if people want to call me, I'm on the Pacific Coast, West Coast, so I want to tell you those on the East Coast, 360-247-7284.
All right. Well, that's about almost all the time we have. Have a wonderful day, everybody. It was so amazingly wonderful to have you on the show. Oh, my gosh. I'm just noticing how beautiful the snow is. Anyways. And how beautiful it was to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Marion and Preston. You're
welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you for the good messages, because
yeah.
they definitely spoke to my heart a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate that.
Well,
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Well, have a magical day.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll allow it.
We'll allow it.
Yes, and we'll have fun doing it.
I'm going to go play in the snow.
Okay.
Yay.
Thank
All right.
you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mary Jane. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
And
bye,
all you wonderful listeners listening out there.
We
yes.
appreciate you.
We
Remember,
send love to you all.
Love.
And ride the wave of love and joy.
Love and life every moment.
Yeah.
And
bye,
a little man. Bliss on top.
Okay.
Thanks.
We can keep going.
Blessings.
Blessings.
Abundant blessings.
Love
Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.